We're going to be talking about some challenges for the new year today. No, it's not last week's sermon. It's different. But I want to start out with a real brief challenge to you. If you weren't here, do you ever go and download the lessons and listen to them? That would be a way to keep up with the Bible classes. That would be a way to get the lessons that are presented. Try to present lessons that are beneficial for the congregation here. And if due to sickness or being out of town, you miss those, we try to make them available. And I want to challenge you to at least think about when you miss a class or a sermon to go get you a copy. You can listen to it while you're driving. You can listen to it while you're working around the house or whatever it may be. So think about that for this new year. Matthew chapter 20. Did I say 26? It's Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Jesus is talking to his apostles. He said, "It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord lays a challenge before his own apostles. And it was a challenge because they did not understand their mission. They were filled with pride. They were wondering about which one of them would be able to sit on the right hand of the king in a place of honor. And Jesus said that's not what it's about. It's about serving. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of the Messiah, you're going to dedicate your heart and your time and your energy to serving. And he certainly asked of them no more, didn't begin to approach what he himself was willing to do. For he said, "The Son of Man came to serve." He left the glories of heaven, took upon himself the form of a man, and went to the cross to serve his creation. And he calls upon us to imitate his example. And so we could stop the lesson right here. We could say for the new year that we need to think about following in the steps of Jesus and being better servants of our fellow man and particularly of his disciples. But you know we're not. We're going to talk about some specifics of serving. And I'm going to begin where you may be thinking, and that is Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, Hebrews was written to a group of people who had become Christians, but they were struggling. That's clear in the sections of exhortation throughout the book. In chapter 6, he indicates that some, in fact, had maybe become a bit lethargic. He indicates in chapter 10 that some were on the verge of giving up their hope because of the persecutions and difficulties. And he begins back in verse 19 of this chapter, stating before them some objective facts that should encourage them about what Christ has done for them and the hope that he has provided. But in verse 24, he talks about something that God designed to help them weather the storm and be faithful to the end. Verse 24 of Hebrews 10. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." So, is assembling together like you've done this morning a way to serve one another? And the answer is definitely yes. That is a way to serve one another. But what I want to encourage you to think about, that what this text is talking about, and here's the challenge, it's not just being here. The challenge in the text is assembling because you want to serve your brother. You note in verse 24, the New American Standard says, consider how to stimulate one another. Some versions say, consider one another how to provoke or stimulate or encourage. When the writer wrote it, he actually put those two phrases together. Consider one another. And so the exhortation grows out of not simply, I got to go to church to please God. It's more than that. It's going out of an attitude toward one another, considering one another. The desire to help in some way my brother or sister in Christ, to serve. How so? To stimulate. The King James, says provoke. Provoke, not in the sense of provoke to anger, but provoke to duty. To encourage people to be what they ought to be and live as they ought to live. And so as you go to the book of Acts and you find churches, Christians being made, what follows in that wake? Churches being established. Brethren meeting together. Why? It's God's plan for brethren to serve one another by coming together as we have this morning. Now, let's suppose you come together, but you never talk to anybody. When the singing is being done, you may sing some. You don't put your heart into it. Nobody hears you sing. Is that stimulating? Is that encouraging others? When we come here together, it's not come find your place on the pew, sit down, and go home, and I obeyed Hebrews 10:25. You have not. You could never miss a service and not obey Hebrews 10:25. Look at the text. Not forsaking our assembly together. Say, I got that one. Check it. You know enough. You're Bible students to know. You don't stop with the not. Not but. And you know, when you have that kind of phraseology in your New Testament, oftentimes what's being done is emphasizing what follows the word but. And that's exactly the point here. But encouraging. The point of assembling is to encourage one another. And so I ought to give my attention and my diligence to that end. My presence here, the way I conduct myself, the things I say, the interaction with others ought to be designed to mutually encourage. That's what God wants out of these Hebrews. That's what He wants out of us. Now that has a definite impact on how we view the assembly. Somebody might say, well, I know I miss some assemblies, but you know, sometimes the sermons aren't that great. I'll admit sometimes they're not too great. Maybe somebody says, well, I try to listen to the sermons, but you know, sometimes they got babies that are crying, mothers are trying to try and take care of them, or maybe I don't feel just really up to par. I'm not talking about being sick where you can contaminate others. I'm talking about just maybe you just don't feel exactly right. And so I probably wouldn't get a whole lot out of the sermon anyway. Let's suppose that's true. Can you still come and serve? You assemble not simply because of the sermon. What's the focus in the text? Is there anything about the sermon here? You come and you focus on your brother. So let's say the sermon is not one you really like. Maybe you didn't feel the greatest. Maybe you didn't keep up that great. But you were here and you interacted and you're here to encourage. Isn't that what the text is about? Wouldn't that have an application to dealing with a real issue that we sometimes face about sermons or classes? The prayers. We try to get men to speak up when they pray. Sometimes men forget that. And so maybe you don't hear the prayer. Maybe sometimes the prayer is you have questions about what the man said. Say, well, I could have missed this assembly. Wait a minute. It's good that we have men to lead us in prayer, and the men here do a good job of that. But if you're coming because you consider your brother, verse 24, you can do that, and you can encourage your brother whether you heard the prayer or you didn't. Now, you're going to be much more edified if you can hear the prayer. That's something for the men to think about. You're leading in prayer. It's not just leading in prayer for you, so I said a prayer. You need to speak up, man. You're leading in prayer, and the whole idea is we're praying together to encourage one another. How are you going to encourage one another if people can't hear what you say? We're here to serve God. Truth. I was there. I served God. I don't know what the sermon was about. I didn't really enjoy the prayers, but I was there. No, you're here to serve one another. Verse 24. Verse 25, encouraging one another. What about the songs? Maybe that particular day the song service didn't go the greatest. What about the Lord's Supper? Say, well, we do the same thing all the time, and maybe sometimes the comments at the table you couldn't hear, whatever. Maybe you were distracted by your child. We will have wonderful mothers here. Bring their babies. I don't know how you do it, ladies. You know, I never had to do that because all the time I was preaching, my wife had to do it all. But mothers do that. They bring their children. They're distracted. I don't know how they keep their minds on worshiping God, but they bring them. I don't know if I got anything out of it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I got something out of you being here. And that's what this is about. Serving one another. And so the challenge that we're making for the new year. We're going to meet tonight at 5 o'clock if the Lord is willing. Here's the challenge. Act like your master. He came to serve. Come to serve. If the Lord is willing, we're going to meet Wednesday night. Have a Bible class. See, well, I can miss that class and go to heaven. Well, baby, that's not the point. Follow in the steps of your master. I want to go because I want to serve. We're going to have a gospel meeting, Lord willing, this coming weekend. Why should I go? To serve. Your presence will impact the other people here. You know what else? Your absence may well impact them too, but not in a good way. You think about that when you make your decision about assembly. Jesus said, I came to serve. And I want you apostles to understand that your mission is service. It's not about your own well-being and glory and honor. It's to serve as I came to serve. Right in this connection, I want to turn with you to Romans chapter 16. Look at Romans chapter 16. And verse 16. You can quote this verse. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. It's pretty obvious that greeting, which, by the way, greeting is more than hello. Go study the word yourself. Greeting was a word that carried with it the idea of good favor and blessing and well-wishing. That idea, it should come from the heart. And that's why people used it when they were out to do evil, because it concealed the attitudes of their heart. Remember, Judas kissed the Lord when he betrayed him. That's hypocritical. But he's talking about a sincere, well-wishing, greet one another. Now, you don't have to be together to greet. In the last part of this verse, all the churches of Christ greet you. Traveling with Paul were men who were representative of other churches. And they were sending their greetings in the name of those churches. They were miles and miles away, but they were sending their best wishes for the brethren that shared the faith with them. But obviously, greeting one another with a holy kiss is looking to a setting where you are together. Now, if I understand the New Testament, he is not binding the idea that we have to use the kiss as a means of greeting. It is a legitimate way if it's holy. And they used that in their society back then. It was their custom. There are other ways that even in the New Testament, people were greeted, in this particular case, by a letter. It can be done by a handshake. It can be done other ways. But the point is, it's an attitude toward others that is expressed in some way. Now, here's the question. Wait, I got another question. How many of God's commandments can you just mark out and not obey? 1, 2, 10? Could you just put an X by this one? Say, I'll put a line through that one. I don't have to greet other people. You know you wouldn't do that. So here's my question. You're sitting wherever you probably always sit. We kind of got our designated pews. I don't know, maybe it'd be a good idea to shake things up so you can't sit in the same place this week. And it would have a riot on our hands, I guess. But maybe that'd be a good idea. I tell you what, this morning, after you arrived, how many people have you greeted? I went, took a seat. Maybe I talked to that person on that pew. Maybe the one behind me. That's about it. Services is over. I tell you what, if you're not standing in the back, there's people you'll never meet. Because when the services are over, they're gone. But I did go to church. Yeah, you did. But are you here just to say I went to church, or are you here to serve? He says, greet one another. Now, why don't we? Is it because we don't care about others? That's dangerous. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom. You wear His name. I'm not sure we're going to go to heaven. Say, I went to church, I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure about that. If we don't care about our brethren. 1 John talks over and over and over again about the importance of loving your brother. So if it just, I don't care, maybe there's time for some real self-examination. If you think, well, that's not my duty, that's the preacher's duty, or that's the elder's duty, that's the deacon's duty, which I don't know where you get that. What about this verse? Greet one another. You're not writing to preachers or elders. They're included. Greet one another. Let's suppose many of you have family gatherings. Okay, we're all going to get together once a year or whatever it may be. Maybe it's at Thanksgiving. Maybe it's just a designated time all the family tries to get together. So you get together at the family. What happens if only 3 or 4 people out of 25 ever say anything to you? How do you feel about that? And it's the same ones every time. None of the others ever go up to you and ask how you doing, how your life's been going. You say, they don't really care. What happens when God's family gets together? If you never ask others, if you never talk to others, how do they feel? Here in chapter 16, it's pretty interesting. Matt talked about this on one of his Wednesday evening closes, and I thought it was excellent. You have in verse 3 following, Paul beginning to issue greetings. But they're very specific. He's calling people by name. Verse 3, Prisca and Aquila. Verse 5, Epaphroditus. Verse 6, Mary. 7. And if I counted right, there's some, I believe it's 26 names. 26 names. You know, this is valuable territory, the Word of God. And yet the Holy Spirit left space in His letter for Paul to issue 26 specific greetings. You reckon there's any lesson there for you and me? How long have you been a member of this church? Do you know the names? Now, these are names of people who are in other places even, that Paul's talking about. Do you know the names of the people you meet with every week? How many of the members of this church that you cannot call their names? Now, maybe this is a good challenge for the new year. Wally has created an online directory. You can have it right there on your phone. That before this year is out, maybe before this month is out, maybe before 6 months is out, I'm going to learn the names of every single member of this congregation. And one way to root it in your heart is to do what? Next time we meet, I'm going to go up, I'm going to shake their hand, or I'm going to give them a hug, and I'm going to call them by name. You may miss it at times, but they love you. Poor old Tammy, I don't think she's here today. I don't know how many times I called her Jamie. But she don't get mad at me. She's sweet, forgiving. Call them by name. Learn people's name. Paul is the 26th name. But there's more. When he talked about these people, look what he said. Some of the things he said, verse 3. Greek, Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risk their own necks. He acknowledged their work for the Lord. He appreciated their devotion and sacrifice. Look down at verse 5. Mary, Greek Mary, who's worked hard for you. He again acknowledged this woman, whoever she is, and her devotion and service. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. And so forth. Maybe you could go up to a deacon, call him by name and say, I want to thank you for your work. And it would be nice if you knew what he did. You know, you've got people know, oh, it's my turn to lead the prayer. My time to wait on the table. Oh, it's my time to make announcements. Do you think that just happens? No, there's a guy sitting back there. His name is Ennis Osteen. And he sees to that. He tries to spread that out. We make recordings. Somebody turns on a mic. A recording is made. That's a fellow back there by the name of Matt Ennin. And we can go through all the deacons that way. And so it's not just, oh, hello, bye, I'm going to the car. It's expressing favor and well-wishing. And maybe one thing you could do is learn something about different people and what they do. We've got so many people here who do service they never talk about. They're not out for glory. They bring people food. They pick up people with rides that need rides. They call people when they're sick. All kinds of things. And if you know about that, you think it'd mean anything if you just tell them, you know, I heard about and I appreciate what you're doing. So, for the new year, here's a challenge. Assemble, but assemble to serve. And one of the ways to do that is to greet one another sincerely from our hearts. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember, we've already read from Hebrews 10. Now, Hebrews 13. So, what are you going to do to help brethren stay faithful? Herb asked me a good question this morning. He said, what is it that motivates you to continue to serve the Lord? And I think there's really basically two things, the love of God, the fear of God. But God has put in place some things to help me along the way. And guess what they are? One of them is, I'm looking at them. Fellow Christians. Look at Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, people in a state of trial. He said, verse 8, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now, we just had someone talk about hospitality, and that strangers is not necessarily talking about somebody down, walking down the street, but a brother or sister you don't know, you don't meet. They're traveling, maybe they're at work, or maybe they're visiting, who knows what. Maybe it's a job change, and they just need a place to stay. To you, they're a stranger. That was the case with Abraham. He entertained strangers who happened to be angels. And so it doesn't have to be somebody you always are with. It can be a brother and sister in Christ that maybe you just met them. But maybe some way you can extend hospitality. It's not necessarily a room in your house. That may be what they need. It may be that you could feed them a meal or take them out for a meal, whatever the case may be. In Acts chapter 21, verse 16, some of the disciples from Caesarea also came with us, taking us to Manson of Cyprus, a disciple of long standing, with whom we were to lodge. I don't know Manson. I don't know if he had a big house or not. I don't know if he said, okay, you sleep on the couch, you sleep on the floor. But he welcomed these disciples in his home who were traveling. We've got brethren here who do that. Been doing it the last few weeks. We've got some brethren doing that very thing. That's hospitality. Why do that? Because of Matthew 20 and verse 26. Jesus said, your job is to serve. That's what I came for. To serve. So here's the challenge for the new year. Practice hospitality with someone other than your family. Oh, I had my brother and sister in. I had my cousin in. We got a lot of family members right here in the congregation. That's good that you like to get together. Practice hospitality with somebody else. Not a relative. Why? You want to serve. That's why. You want to know more about them. You want to encourage. You want to be encouraged. That's why you do it. If you never do that, will you think about in 2018 changing? One more thing. Look at Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual. That's not talking about emotional. Look back at verse 25 of chapter 5 and he explains what he means. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's Word directs your life and who you are and how you live and think and treat people. Now, if you're spiritual, restore such a one, verse 1 of chapter 6. That is a person who let something get the best of them. They got discouraged. Maybe they're not assembling. Maybe they're not living as they ought. Maybe they've been caught up in something. You try to restore them. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, or as some verses say, meekness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. I got enough of my own. No, that's not the text. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I wonder what law Christ gave that would talk about bearing one another's burdens. Have any idea? So, when's the last time you ever thought, remember, you're going to start trying to learn the members' names, right? Say, when was the last time they were here? Or maybe they looked down. Or here's something happened in their life. And they need encouragement. Or I just want to commend them so they don't get caught up in something. Maybe they're headed down a path. They need somebody to grab them and maybe hopefully bring them back. So since you're going to be warning the members and being active in hospitality, practice this. You are spiritual restorer, such a one. That's not just the preacher's job or the elder's job. Or preachers and elders certainly ought to be involved in that. So, this text talks about somebody that's caught in a trespass. They need to repent. What if you or me are caught in the trespass of not caring about my brother enough to serve? You reckon I need to repent and you need to repent? Life is not guaranteed.